Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, increasing clouds as the day goes on, a growing chance as well for some rain going into this evening. We'll have a high around the mid-60s. Temperature-wise, Kenosha, 47 degrees at this hour. It's 48 in Burlington, Milwaukee 52, 49 in Racine. Foxconn Technology Group did join with Racine County leadership late yesterday morning for that official announcement of where in Mount Pleasant that $10 billion plant is going to go. The proposed site is comprised of actually three areas. The first area bordered by the interstate and Highway H and Highway KR and Brown Road. Second area, south of Highway 11 from the interstate to Highway H. And area number three is from Brown Road to Highway KR and 90th Street to Highway H. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave saying three public information sessions are going to be held because this has a lot of moving pieces to fully understand.
Where we can share additional details and answer your questions. Let me be clear. We are committed to making sure your input is part of this process. This is a turning point in the history of Racine County, no doubt. We are in this together. At the informational sessions, we'll get to showcase Foxconn's awesome technology.
Foxconn's Dr. Lewis Wu said that beyond the production facility, this is about partnerships and building a platform for the future. After the announcement, Mount Pleasant Village President Dave DeGroot said that the village and its partners, they've been working on the land purchases for a while now.
This has all been done through the Village of Mount Pleasant, through our development arm, Racine County Economic Development Corporation. So we have been the ones that have been tying up the assemblage so that we can deliver the parcel to Foxconn.
He said initially the village is going to be purchasing the land and then sell it to Foxconn.
Foxconn is going to be heavily invested in this through direct capital infusion and through special assessments that we'll be levying on them to pay for the land.
DeGroot did not rule out the use of eminent domain to acquire all the needed acreage, but he said he hopes that is not necessary. He confirmed that landowners have been offered about $50,000 per acre. A groundbreaking will not occur, though, until all the land needed for Foxconn is secured. Meanwhile, DeGroot indicated it's hoped that that can happen sometime early next year. Meanwhile, there's about a $764 million investment coming from the village and Racine County, but local officials are indicating taxpayers are going to be protected and the upfront cost recouped within 25 years. A tax incremental district for the three areas announced Wednesday includes land acquisition, infrastructure upgrades, financing expenses, and contingencies, on top of the $3 billion state incentive package. BizTimes has the TIF proposal with Foxconn eligible for up to $100 million in development incentives, but tied to job creation and capital investment targets. This project would not lead to an increase in property taxes or a county sales tax. That's according to Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave. He says the proposal was crafted so that the TIF district uses the estimated $31 million in additional property tax revenue generated by the initial 20 million square foot campus to fund improvements. Kenosha County officials planning to closely monitor how the Foxconn development pans out in neighboring Racine County, given the announcement from yesterday. Environmental impacts, potential traffic congestion, just some of the concerns for Kenosha County exec Jim Cruiser and others may have to contend with, but Cruiser notes a good working relationship with his counterpart in Racine, Jonathan Delagrave.
We're going to stay in close communication because we want that to be done right for them and right for us. And like in the history of our relationship, what's good for Racine is good for Kenosha. What's good for Kenosha is good for Racine. And if there's something awry, I know a cell number. We'll be in communication.
Kenosha County's been doing its part to prepare for increased development with the northern part of the county. Cruiser's citing the pending expansion of Highway S between Green Bay Road and the interstate, plus the recently crafted annexation and land use agreement between the city, Summers, and Paris. Now, on the heels of the official announcement about Foxconn, you've got job opportunities, and UW-Milwaukee is one site today for a job fair, the first of actually many college job fairs the company is going to be doing in Wisconsin. More than 100 employers expected to be taking part. It's going from 10 this morning till 2 this afternoon. Meanwhile, Foxconn Technology is on display today from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. at the S.E. Johnson IMET Center on Renaissance Boulevard, where the big announcement took place yesterday, and the public is welcome to come take a look at it. Kenosha County's Highway H and Bain Station Road roundabout reconstruction project continuing. A few notable changes for the next few weeks, like final public and private utility relocations, storm sewer installation, curb and gutter work, and sidewalk and concrete truck apron installation. For the safety of the traveling public and for the work crews, officials are asking motorists to respect the road closed signs in favor of the posted detour route and do not be detouring through the local subdivisions or private driveways and roadways. Meanwhile, in Racine County, the Taylor Avenue reconstruction project west of Meacham Road, that has a message board up about costly citations for driving through that work zone. Hundreds of citations have been written to this point for that project. Plans to rebuild I-94 in Milwaukee being scrapped for the time being. Governor Walker pulling the plug to reconstruct the roadway between the Marquette and Zoo interchanges due to a lack of available state funding. The Journal Sentinel reports federal authorities told the governor's office 2 weeks ago that their authorization for the project was going to be pulled if Madison did not come up with a plan to pay for that work. Just a reminder, the Racine Taxpayers Association is holding an hour-long forum tonight for the two mayoral candidates in the October 17th special election. It'll be taking place in the Great Lakes Room on the Gateway Technical College campus off Pershing Drive, beginning at 7 p.m. Candidates Sandy Weiner and Corey Mason will each have the chance to answer two questions from each other. The audience can also submit questions to go with those that will be asked by the taxpayer group. The Johnson Foundation at Wingspread has been leading the Resilient Communities Initiative in trying to facilitate discussion about the seven Racine County communities east of the interstate operating in a more cohesive manner. An issue that came up in recorded interviews with each of the mayoral candidates. Corey Mason talking about the interconnectedness of each community and the need to adapt for the changes that lie ahead, which can benefit all.
The discussion around does it make sense to merge services or not? And what do our boundaries look like? Are the boundaries equitable? Do they make sense? You know, maybe they made sense in 1975, but maybe they don't in 2017. And so I think when you put all of those things on the table and have a real, honest, and frank conversation with the city and its neighbors, there's real potential to move the city forward and the community forward.
Sandy Weiner believes that Racine is already a very resilient community.
We've gone through a lot of changes over the decades, and the people there are so resilient. And that's really what resilience is. It's not the city or the place itself. It's the people that comprise it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the city of Racine is resilient. And I know as far as the participation in this program, the resilience should stretch beyond our borders. And I've always been an advocate of that. Reaching out to the surrounding communities and partner better with them as to what it will improve their communities as well as improving the city of Racine.
Resilient communities and other issues included in the recorded conversations with both mayoral candidates available on the Johnson Foundation website. The Racine Redevelopment Authority set to meet at 6 o'clock tonight at City Hall. On the agenda, among other things, more white box grant requests for 324 and 318 Main Streets, both for purposes of retail use, also 1028 Douglas Avenue and Racine Riverside Marina for showroom space. Requested authorization, reauthorization actually, of a facade grant for 1318 and 1326 Douglas Avenue. Contractor issues and a fire led to some delays on that. There'll be discussion of a budget for the RDA, also the unveiling of the new economic development website and branding for it. Since February of 2015, the city of Burlington has challenged the DNR on the wastewater treatment plant phosphorus levels for the effluent put into the Fox River by the city. Now comes a proposed settlement to allow more study time and potentially file an appeal with the next permit process. During a Common Council Committee of the Whole meeting, City Attorney John Belogic told the alderman there initially was a challenge to an administrative law judge.
The goal at that time was to try and convince that administrative judge that given our location in the Fox River, whatever we were flowing into the Fox River by way of phosphorus did not really harm the river, that we were basically okay, and that we should not be held to the limitations of this phosphorus level imposed by the DNR, and which I think was a result of the EPA.
Said the city's challenge led to the matter lingering for the past couple of years. The proposed settlement agreement requires some due diligence by the city regarding compliance and reporting. Now, the DNR is going to reevaluate the phosphorus limitation, which the city can again challenge if so desired. A consulting firm will be presenting the council with alternatives in the fall of next year. The Burlington Council to vote on this issue, the proposed settlement, October the 17th. And a Racine woman has been charged with felony physical abuse of a child. She allegedly burned her daughter with a hot light bulb. Court documents have 38-year-old Cachet Vaughn admitting to investigators she used a bandana her 13-year-old daughter had tied to a lamp to remove the hot light bulb and touch it to her girl's arm. It caused a burn. The girl told police the mother had scolded her for tying that bandana to the lamp because, well, it could catch fire. Vaughn treated for a second-degree burn with ointment. A preliminary hearing on the charge scheduled for next week. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.